Praise be Jesus and Mary. I think the first thing that really I want to say that's in my heart as we celebrate this day of Our Lady of Fatima, in honor of the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, is that request that she made for all of us to make reparation to her Immaculate Heart on the five first Saturdays of, you know, five consecutive months. And there's two, you know, these two beautiful practices, this reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on the first five Saturdays, as well as another practice which involves the nine first Fridays to make reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The great blessings and promises that Our Lady has promised us with regards to the fulfillment of the five first Saturdays, as well as the promises that our Lord makes in regards to his reparation to his Sacred Heart on the nine first Fridays. You know, and many of us, I know I'm kind of particularly to this crowd, as the saying goes, preaching to the choir. But here, what I really encourage for us, who I would assume most of us here, if not all of us, have done these acts of reparation, that we continue to do so, so that we might draw down graces from God, from Our Lady, you know, through Our Lady, from God, that we would obtain that grace for others to want to make reparation. And I think it's a very beautiful practice for us, not just to say fulfill the five first Saturdays, but conscientiously trying to, you know, take it up as a lifetime practice even. You know, we who have consecrated ourselves to these two hearts, have we not yet still on our own occasions offended these two hearts? Do we not feel that we need to make still reparation to these two hearts that we have hurt and offended by our little failings? We know, as I mentioned in a homily previously with regards to Divine Mercy, our Lord, St. Faustina, seeing our Lord being scourged, and that moan that would escape from the heart of our Blessed Lord. And St. Faustina saying that moan was particularly for those consecrated to his love. You know, those of us who have consecrated ourselves to God, nothing can pierce the heart more. No one is capable, even in the family, no one can, as it were, with words or actions or whatever those little things we sometimes do to our beloveds in the family, no one can hurt us like the family or those who are close to our heart. And it can sometimes really feel just like someone has taken a dagger and just stuck it right deep in. And boy, do you scream when it happens. It's like, it really hurts. How much more so our Blessed Mother? How much more so our Blessed Lord? We have made ourselves dear to them. And to take time in making reparation, not just for ourselves. I always try to open the scope up, broaden the horizons, but for others, to draw others. If we ourselves recognize, we who are consecrated, who have consecrated ourselves to these two hearts, if we have hurt these hearts and can recognize in our own failings, how much more so those who do not yet know these two hearts, or those who are waffling in their devotion. May our lives and our example draw these souls to be more faithful as we are striving every day, God willing, with the help of the grace of Our Lady and the help of God's grace, to come closer to our Lord. I mean, we recognize the difficulty in the struggle, and yet not to ever give up, because that is pleasing. You know, why the heart has been pain by the hurt of another, and yet when there's the reconciliation, when that happens, it often draws us closer together. It really helps us too to understand the great love that we have for one another, the fact that, well, I can forgive what's been done. I haven't, you know, the relationship hasn't been so ruptured that I don't want to reconcile, that I don't want to put it back together and keep going on. I mean, that's in this life, that's part of any community life, family or religious. In the world, it's one of the things the Holy Father has tried to, Pope John Paul II frequently brought that to the minds of the world, that as big as the world seems, it's very small. And that we're all part of one big family. And we need to be mindful of that. You know we have a common ancestry that, you know, we who are Catholics, you know, we can claim, you know, at least two people as, you know, in our lineage that we're connected by. Aside from Adam and Eve, we also have Noah. I won't, you know, I say Noah because Noah and his wife because we know that they got the three sons and they had their own wives. So we might have different mothers in that sense, depending on our, the lineage, however it goes there. But we have this kind of, we're one family. And then we're one family under God. You know, especially if we've been united in the faith, in our faith as Catholics. And our love, you know, part of our goal in consecrating ourselves to Our Lady is to draw souls to Christ. This is its purpose. And this is what we have to bear in mind, that as we're trying to sanctify ourselves, as we're praying, we have all our different private petitions, open them up to the rest of the world, to the bigger family. As we're doing our penances, striving to overcome ourselves, striving to purify ourselves from our attachments, detaching ourselves from those, you know, those things, strengthening the things that we can be, you know, we may be attached to, trying to break the attachment, even from sometimes legitimate things. This is one of the practices, one of the purposes of, not the only purpose, but one of the purposes of penance is strengthening the will to say no to self. I mean, if I can't say no to legitimate things, then what about the sinful ones? You know, when a temptation comes up and I have to say no. If I haven't learned to say no, you know, when I'm strongly desiring something which is perfectly legitimate and I can't or don't want to control it, then I should be no surprise that I can't control the temptation when it comes and I find that I fall. You know, people go, why would you do something like this? You know, they turn around, you know, the saints will do this, but I like to put it in today. They had a college student who was studying, doing his homework, and he had his favorite chocolate cake or whatever it was. Apparently it had quite an aroma or whatever it was, and he put it there on his desk while he was doing his homework so he could see it. He wasn't going to eat it that day. It was just on the desk so he could see it, he could smell it, he could really want it, and he'd do his homework. Talk about distractions. Trying to do your homework, you know, you're going to get hungry and really, well, and you're right, God had mercy on him. His roommate couldn't take it and ate the cake on him. But why would you do something like that? Because it strengthens the will. It's a discipline. And it doesn't mean you can't, you know, have a point in time, okay, I'm depriving of myself, you know, this for some time, but at some point I'm going to enjoy it. Other times we may completely abstain from it for the glory of God, offering it as, it's not a wasting of food, it's a giving it to God. And Pope John Paul II mentions too, in the spirit of penance, the ultimate purpose of penance is to get us to love God intensely and to consecrate ourselves to Him, that we haven't set anything above our love for God. This is one of the things, you know, if we do find that, you know, in a legitimate thing, I can't say no to myself, then one has to wonder, maybe sin isn't so far off in that regard, in this particular item, although perhaps legitimate, because I can't control it. It's got control of me. It can be in practices, too, of, you know, our obligations in life. I got something I don't like to do, and I got something that I do like to do. I always tell, we can take it to the children. But we all understand this. We all have our turns at it. And don't worry, children. One point or another, we were there in your place. We perfectly understand. Well, to go out and do your homework or play. The obligation of doing our homework. It's important. Doing something I don't like. And if I do this, if we do the homework first, the thing that's unpleasant first, well then when I'm playing, I don't have this black cloud hanging over my play, do I? If I do the thing I don't like first, not merely to just get it out of the way, but for the love of God, I do the thing I don't like first for the love of God. Then when I go to do the other thing, which is nothing wrong with having fun or whatever it might be, I'm saying, presuming that it's not sinful that we're going to do, we don't have that black cloud hanging over our sunny day. You know, I can see the storm coming off, having this lovely picnic, and I can see the storm coming when I have to go back and do what I don't want to do. And it makes me hate it all the more. It makes that play, it makes whatever the enjoyment is, actually more enjoyable because I don't have that thing I don't like hanging over me. But then there's another side of this coin, which I often like to talk about. Another form of detachment in the same regard. Maybe I'm doing my homework, or maybe I'm doing that job I hate doing and I don't want to do it, and I just want to finish it and get it done with. But then it's time to do something else. But I want to finish this so I don't have to come back to it, because it's hanging over me like a black cloud. Detachment from work. It's very important. That too is important. It's time to stop. It's time to do something else. That too should be done. You know, to let the one set aside. God wants at least a little bit of the black cloud to remain. And so I don't try to push it and get it finished when it's not really all that necessary. Maybe sometimes we do have to finish something up. I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. But sometimes our wanting to finish it is simply to get it done and over with. You know, all these things, they have their balance as we strive to grow in perfection and striving to purify our intentions, to keep them wholly united to the will of God, to do what he wants us to do, to stop when he wants us to stop. All things, you know, as St. Paul tells us, all things are good. All things are good for us, but not necessarily right here and now. And so it does take time to discern carefully. As oftentimes, you know, as we want to grow in perfection, it's very helpful, you know, to have a spiritual director, you know, to help confirm, say, our schedule in life so that we have our prayer times, our work times, our recreation times, you know, the times that we can, as it were, say, enjoy ourselves with something that's perfectly legitimate before God. And this is so that the devil doesn't come in there and say, you could have done this. This would have been a better thing to do. Well, you can tell the devil, says, the most perfect thing to do is to follow my schedule that I have approved. So leave me alone. And it needs to have different, you need to have different days. You need to have your feast days. You need to have your solemnities. You need to have, you know, out in the world, what is the vacation schedule going to be? You know, obviously there's going to be some fluctuation, but consideration, you know, time for where you're going to go to Mass. You know, are you going to make some time for prayer? Are you with family? Well, you got to give a bulk time for family. You got to, if there's prayers that you want to say and you've got a family environment that you're in, they want to spend time with you, you need to accommodate that. You need to circle your quote-unquote prayer life around the wants and desires of the family who have putting a demand on your attention and your time. And that needs to be taken into consideration. You don't make them do penance and say, well, I'm going to go take 3 hours in the middle of the day, wreck the day for everybody so they can't spend time with you and do something as a family. This is important. Family time. Family time, which includes God. Doesn't mean that you have to be down on your knees. But if it's something pleasing to the Lord, God willing, maybe just your witness. I know, because families can, they're not always on board. But that is time for you to witness to Christ in the family. And it's important. It's what God calls us to. He hasn't taken us out of the world. We are in the world to sanctify it. This is what our consecration to Our Lady is all about, that witness of my life in the world, trying to draw others to the heart of Christ by my example. And it doesn't mean that everything I say is talking about God. But I can't help it. I mean, I'm religious. It's worse when you're a priest 24/7. I went, you go home to the family, it's like, that's all you talk about is religion. I says, well, 24/7, that's what I do. So if I start talking about football games and basketball games, you better start praying for me. I should be, what am I supposed to be doing? It's my life. But it's not necessarily all our lives. And it doesn't mean it's, you know, illegitimate to, you know, to talk about those things if we're, you know, out in the world. You know, if we do have more contact, say, with the world. But to be conscious of Christ in our conversations, to be conscious, this is our witness. Who knows, but these kind words, the holy example, the patience that we have to practice with regards to our brothers and sisters, our family members that perhaps don't understand. It's not lost on them. The patience which we have, the tolerance that we put up with things and try to be understanding. These things are our witness to them. And one day when maybe they're on our side, you go, remember when? Now you understand. It's not so easy. You have to button it up, have to swallow a lot. But that's our witness. May Our Lady help us to really take her, like St. John, to take Our Lady into our home, into our hearts, into our lives, so that we might share her with others in our family, and those who are our acquaintances, in our workplace, everywhere, that she be a part of our life, drawing Christ into that life, so that we might share his life with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.